I'd like to tell y'all all thank you for coming back out here again. My family and I are truly blessed to be here in y'all's country. Y'all's country's big as ours is. It's big. So if y'all have kangaroos, we don't. That's funny to me. I don't know why y'all laughing. It's just funny to me. Yep, y'all got kangaroos. That's funny. Well, things are going well in my work over in Mexico. And, I hear, I was talking to a man today. I don't even know where we was at. Where was we at? What's the name of that place? What's the name of that place, name of that mall? Carindale? It was over there to the Carindale store. And, eating with these preachers. And, this guy was talking about, where was he at? Let's see. I think it was in, either Fiji or Samoa. One of the places. And they had these campaigns and crusades. And he said to me that everybody they prayed for was healed. That's pretty awesome, huh? I like that. I really, really, really like that. Because it's a blessing. Because that's the power of the Holy Ghost. I reckon I've only been in a few places where that happened before. If you will, turn your Bible to Hebrews. I'm going to start in the very same place I did last night. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's an honor to be here. I am really, really happy to be with you. And I certainly hope you came with expectancy and believing God to touch you and heal you if you have something wrong with you. Because we're really, in, my family and I are praying and fasting this week, really seeking God. And I just got through telling you we just ate with those pastors, didn't I? And but we've been fasting all week. Today was the only day we ate. Well. Supper will be good after a while anyway, misery, not the... Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm telling you there's lots of different miracles that the Holy Ghost is doing around the world. I don't write down a whole lot of things. I've probably forgotten more miracles than most people's ever heard about. I don't keep a diary. I don't keep and write books. I just don't do that stuff. Lots of people get really angry with me about that. I mean, really angry. I've been approached by some big publishing book people in the United States, and they want me to write books. But I have to tell you that my opinion, this is strictly my opinion. There's been one written called the Holy Bible. And it's been done by the blood of Jesus. Now that's just strictly my opinion. That's how come we don't have a table over here with all my tapes and books on them, because if you want a tape, Brother Jan will have some tapes, these messages, get them from him. I believe it's the local church's business to do that kind of propaganda. It's not my business. I'm going back to the United States. People write into my office all the time and they say to me, they say to the office administrator, we have some people that are sick. We've heard Brother Hogan's preaching and we want some tapes. And what we do in that case is I ask them, where are you from? Because there's always a church close by where we've been preaching. It'll have some tapes about the power of the gospel. And we give them and refer them to the pastor, and the pastor gets the tapes to them. I think that's how we do it. Okay? And like he said a while ago, we didn't come here with great references and demands on the ministries here. I didn't come here last time I was in Australia doing that either, nor in New Zealand when I was just over there. And it's really amazing to me how the people will give anyway. I don't have to ask for money. I have to ask God for it. That's strictly my opinion. But there's also people in here that have the opinion of, well, if you're going to ask God, you know, that's your business. I ain't giving you nothing. Hey, that's your business. And you know, you can have exactly what you put into anything. And it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me one bit, because I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm healed and my family's healed and we're happy. I'm telling you right now, I'm happy, and it's because I'm a giver. I give my life to the people that I preach to every time I preach. Hallelujah. So that's my whole doctrine about it right there. It takes money to run our work. I probably would astound you if I was to put up figures and put them on that boards over there and say, okay, I need this amount of money. I don't want to do that to you. That's not necessary. Our ministry has lots of zeros we need, but God knows about it, and He'll take care of it, okay? That ought to suffice anybody. If you've been burned and hurt by people that's done that to you over the years, I'm not going to do that to you. I just want to touch you. I just want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. That's all I want to do. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. I'm pretty, my faith in God and His ability is real strong, because He can do it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. Bless these people that have come out here. God, we refute and rebuke the powers of darkness, and we curse witchcraft by the blood of Jesus. And we thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. We love you, Father, and we appreciate you. And we rebuke and refute the devil by the powers of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, what a God. What a wonderful God. We ask you to come in here, God. You know I'm serious about this. You're awesome to me. And I ask you to touch these people by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your power and your ability. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to have to read verse 18 with you. It says it like this. That was so that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, His promise and His oath, this is God speaking, in which it was impossible for God ever to prove false or to deceive us. God's not after deceiving you. God's not. Men will let us down, and I'm telling you, I apologize about that. But God will never do that to you. We have to set our attention and our affections on things above, on Jesus, on Jesus. And not on the things around us, because the things around us are temporal and they're subject to change. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I watch the news all the time, and it's just nothing but just depressing, sad news. I'm telling you, it's awesome what comes across the news. And every country I go in, it doesn't matter what the country is, it's the same way. It's the same way. And it's depressing. I admit that. But I'll tell you, I also admit that Jesus Christ is King and Lord. Hallelujah. Man, I work with one of the most depressed and underprivileged people in the world. I'm telling you, they make about $2 or $3 a day if they work hard and work all day. Do you hear me? I mean, if you wouldn't even get out of bed for that much money. You don't even take a shower for that much money. And I know that. If you're not knocking down big bucks, you're not going. You're not going to go. I'm the same way. I wouldn't go either. When I was working an hourly job, buddy, I looked around continually for better benefits, better money, and better everything. So I could enhance my life and enhance my family, and we could get ahead and do things and have money and have food and have housing. And that's a normal thing for us to want to better our lives. But it's not normal, once God has bettered our lives, for us to let that materialism grab us and hold us. That's not normal. That's demonic. Okay? Everybody hear me? Did somebody get shot? All right, look here. Turn over with me. All right. Oh, that's right. I got it marked. I was wondering why this Bible turned over there so quick. Turn over with me to John chapter 14. And we're going to talk some more about lifting up the name of Jesus. People don't want that. Did you hear what I said? People don't want to hear messages on lifting up the name of Jesus. People want to hear some great revelation. People want to hear something new, something fresh. Well, I'm not talking nothing new and fresh until the end here. And then I'm going to talk to you about something that happened in our work. And if you're still here, then you'll be blessed. Did you hear me? The name of Jesus has got to be lifted up. and people's spirits have got to be lifted. People's spirits have got to be lifted so that they can receive. It doesn't matter what church you go into. Programs and administration is preached more than the name of Jesus is in most cases. And I'm telling you, that is not scriptural. The name of Jesus must be uplifted every time we get together as saints of the living God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I want to read this here. John, where are we at? 14, right? Yeah. 14:10. See, when we was just now over in New Zealand, they brought this guy in that had this problem. His leg was long. One leg was long and the other one was real short. And they tried to built up these heels for him so he could walk and everything. Well, when we prayed for him, the Holy Ghost, I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he shifted his back muscles. I don't know if he grew the leg out. I don't know if it's creation. I don't know what it was. All I know is the man is healed. And it's awesome. And I'm glad about that. That's happy. That's fun. And a whole bunch of women there was a whole bunch of testimonies of women that had problems with their ovaries and inside of them and parts and they were hurting and they were in pain and they were serious. And it's things that most women just put up with, but you don't have to. Ladies, I want to encourage you. You just don't have to. All the infections and all the things and the hurts and the pains that the modern day life brings to women. Hey, listen to me. Jesus will set you free from that. There was lots of testimonies of women just now that got healed. And that blesses me a lot because, you know, I live with women. They're all in the house. And all these infections and things come after us and attack us and, oh boy, and we're respectable, clean, healthy, wholesome people. But the devil doesn't have respecter of persons. But the name of Jesus does. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful and I like it. I really like that. And then this guy here that had his feet was crippled and got him healed last night. I like that, man. You know, people say to me, what do you get out of it? That's not the point here. It's what can I put into it? I get out of it. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's about as far as she goes, but it's an emotional thing. You know, it's a thank you Jesus for me. But that guy, I've never even met him yet, but I probably will one day. You know, he's happy. He's content. He's awesome. He's still in unbelief in a way of what? Whoa, dude, look at this feet working here. And they've been, I think it was, how many years were they broke? 4 years, they were crippled and messed up. And then just look, they just went in and laid a handkerchief on him. I mean, what is that? What is that? What's a rag? What is it? It's the Holy Ghost. It's not the rag. It's the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing? These are current things that's happened in the last couple of weeks. This is good. Whoever that person is, I remember praying for several people over at Ben Lee that had incurable diseases. Brother Hogan, don't you care? Yes, I care. But what do you want me to do? Write a newsletter and get money out of it? I mean, what do you want me to do about this? Give glory to Jesus, church. That's where it goes. I'll probably put in a letter, oh boy, I had incurable disease healed. But people that receive my newsletters are used to it. Because I don't ever write in there, hey, I need you millions of dollars. I always write in there, hey, we've got the dead raised. I like that. You know what? It doesn't matter what country I go in. It doesn't matter what people I'm preaching and talking around. People that get my newsletter. Somebody inevitably is going to rebuke me because I don't do a newsletter according to the way it's supposed to be done. I just write in there, hello, how y'all doing? Jesus is King. Dead raised here. Blind eyes open here. See y'all next time I write a letter. God bless you. Goodbye. To me, that's news. That's news to me. You don't need to know that my little boy got a new bicycle and he learned to ride it. I mean, everybody's boy does that. But how many of you can write in a newsletter, the dead are raised? Now that there is news to me. I like it. That's news. And here, look, and I'm going to read this out of this Amplified Bible. Because there are a couple of phrases in here. This is very common scripture. But there are a couple of phrases here that are awesome to me. So I thought I'd share them with you. Here in John 14 verse 10 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? If I was to ask that question, the majority of you people in here would say, of course I believe, Brother Hogan. Because you would think I would be challenging your belief or your Christianity. And that's not what we're doing here. That's not what's going on. Jesus is trying to say, hey, wake up to the fact that I can do miracles through you. You believe me and it'll flow. Look on down here in verse 10. It says, what I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority. And I'm here tonight. I'm not here because I decided to go to Australia. That's not why. Ask this man, did you ever write me a letter saying come to Australia?
Me?
You?
No.
No. See that? He didn't do it. The Holy Ghost spoke to me a long time ago, and I came down here, and I'm back again because I believe Jesus said come here in the authority of the Holy Ghost. Do you see any difference here? I like that. I really like that. And it says right here, but the Father who lives continually in me does His works. His own miracles, deeds of power. Did you hear that? I like that. I really like that. I mean, the deeds of power are flowing. See, a few months ago, I was in a conference in America. They invited me up there, so my wife and I flew up, went up to the border of Mexico, where our office is. And then we flew from there up to a state called Indiana. It's right on the border of Michigan. And then you go into Canada. It's real close to Canada. And so we were up there, and I mean, the Holy Ghost was moving. And I'll tell you, see, I'd been up there the previous year and laid hands on a whole bunch of people. And I usually don't get the report this quick as we did one night. The miracles that we get instantaneously are usually the dead raising and stuff like that, you know. Usually just about 30-40% of the miracles. Rest of them are healings that take a while. All right. And so this one guy was sitting there, and I had prayed for him last time. I mentioned it last night, but I didn't go into any detail about some cancer people being healed. The guy, they brought him in. Look here. There was so many people. It was a thousand and something folks. And the place was packed. So they had men carrying this guy in a chair. There were four men toting this fella in a chair. Brought him right up to the front and sit him down while I was preaching. That was fun. I really enjoy that kind of thing. Because you know that whenever somebody's toting somebody in a chair or on a stretcher or something like that, you know it's critical. And you also know that without the help of the Holy Ghost, without God's deeds or miracle power, this person more than likely is going to die. So I preached the gospel, went right down to him. What's the matter with you? He was skinny. He was a skinny guy. Oh boy, he was sick fellow. He says to me, I'm going to die with cancer. I said to him, well, I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Prayed for him in Jesus' name. Went around. Every time I'd think about it, I'd work my way back up to the front in the prayer line. Touch him. Go back down. Oh, go right back up there. Jesus. Back and forth. I must touch that man 15 times. And then after a while, I went back up there, and those guys had got him and carried him off. I didn't see him again. I didn't even know his name at the time. Well, about 6 weeks after that, wasn't it, that we got the phone call at the office? Seems like about 6 weeks, might have been 2 months, that all of a sudden the phone rang at the office. I wasn't there. I wish I would have been there to answer this. Oh, boy, I'd have liked that. But the guy himself called up to report that he had gone to the doctor and that all the cancer in his body had been burned out. They said it was burned out. Now, how did it get burned out? The fire of God burned it out of him. He was completely healed. That's awesome. I like it. I like it. I like it. Yahoo! I really like it. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. He was healed of cancer. And the next time I was there, he walked up to me. I didn't recognize him, not in his chair. And also he'd put on a lot of weight from after being healed. He walked straight up to me and he says to me, Brother David, I love you, man. I love you. I love you too, dude. How you doing? You know? Kind of, whoa there. Yeah, you know, all this love business, you know, you can hang out a minute there, bud. You know? You may be older man than me, but you know, whoa, right there. He says to me, I'm the guy that was in the chair, da 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 da. I said, whoa, that's pretty nice. I like that. You can hug me now. So he hugged me and thank you, Jesus, and it was a blessing. But you know, I didn't know that the lady in the wheelchair that, oh, I forgot to tell you about her. They brought her in there with him. I didn't know it because she was another nationality. I forgot what she was. Filipino or something like that, it seems like maybe. Oh, man. I don't remember. I think she's Filipino. Anyway, they rolled her in there. Well, she didn't look like him. I mean, that, you know, she didn't look like American. And so I said, well, you know, I didn't put them together. But the problem was, that was his wife. They both had incurable diseases. She was in the wheelchair and he was brought up, actually brought him in there on a stretcher and they set him in that chair and brought the chair up there is how it happened. And so, you know, they were side by side, prayed for both of them. Well, I'll tell you, God's awesome. He didn't hit him and miss her because he hit her at the same time and the both of them were healed. That's pretty fun, huh? Hallelujah. I like that. I like that. So I was pretty happy. I'm sitting here and you know, I'm fixing to preach and these people are up testifying of the power of God and I'm looking at them. I'm looking at the people. I'm looking at the people. I'm telling them, you've heard everything I was going to preach right here. So I didn't have to preach. I just had to share. I just read a couple of scriptures. That was the end of that. There's no need to preach whenever it's right in front of you. Did you hear me? And let me show you why I believe that. All right. Now, it says right here, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, and that's very simple, I don't blame you for not trusting me, but you know, that's your business. That's not my business. You don't have to trust me. That's not what I'm asking you to trust. I'm asking you to trust the name of Jesus. Now you have to trust the name of Jesus if you want help. All right. And it says right here, where are we? If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. Yeah, that's pretty convincing. A cripple healed after 4 years. I'd say, wouldn't you? Did that convince you? That convinced you. You're back here again. That convinced them. I like it. Them, all them children with Down syndrome, you know, they couldn't capture knowledge up there in Townsville. All of those parents love me. They trust me now. All of these people where I go preach the gospel and, you know, in Mexico and Bolivia and Paraguay and Peru and Guatemala, those people love me. And I'm telling you, it's almost too much for a man. I mean, it's almost beyond the right kind of love in a sense of they almost worship you as who you're not because you can't allow that. You got to make sure that they understand it's Jesus doing it. Do you understand? It's in the name of Jesus. Because you see, I got to get back to where I was at. I was headed to something. I want to head there. So I got to get back there. Those two people that were healed, so we preached the gospel. Well, up in the this just happened here a few months ago. This is awesome, Pastor. I don't think I even shared this with you. There's a lot I haven't shared with you. Yeah, some. Found out today, didn't we? That we'll talk about it. Okay. So here's what happened. There was we had an altar call just like we did here last night. And there was this guy. He was really a nice looking man. He was an elderly guy. He was older than me. He had more white hair than I got. And he was standing there and dressed really nice. He was an American. And he says to me, he says, you know, y'all know if y'all knows I carry around these handkerchiefs, you know, that's to wipe the sweat off your brow and fling them at people whenever I get tired. And boy, God flops people around with them. I like it. It's pretty fun. And so this guy, he says to me, he says, I want that handkerchief. And I was just fixing to start the prayer line. I said, you can't have it till I'm through praying. But as soon as I'm through praying, I don't care if you have a thing. Take it with you. Do whatever you want to with it. Wipe your brow off. That's fine. Wash it up. They're really good. They soak up good. My wife keeps them up there where they work right. And so the fella says, okay, he stood there. Now I had to pray for almost 1,500 folks. And boy, that takes a while. I'm serious. That takes a long time. But he just standing there waiting. I mean, he ain't went anywhere. I mean, the power of God's flowing through the place all over. And he just, I mean, it's just like he's not there because he's just standing there watching. He's just watching. But I had no idea what was on his mind. You understand? And after it's all over, he walks over to me. By now I forgot about him because I get into what I'm doing and I don't think about, you know, going back and remembering and all that. But he remembered. He's still standing there. And he says to me, give me my handkerchief. So I throw it at him. I told him, man, that thing needs washing, you know. So he took the thing. Now listen to me. And he took it up to his mama. Now his mama was 84. Is that right? 84. Is that right? 82, 84. She was older than me. She's older than me. Almost, just double. That's all. And so when he got up there, what I didn't know was that his mama had been laying an invalid for 2 years with a stroke. One of her lungs was completely filled up with fluid and the other one was almost, it was about halfway. So she was close to dying. The doctors were forecasting that she was going to die with a certain amount of time. He carried that handkerchief up there and he laid it square on her face. Now it took him 7 hours to drive up there and he walks right in there where his mom is, got all of his brothers and sisters up there. They all love Jesus too. They laid that handkerchief right square on her face, right on her face. You got that? And he said, in the name of Jesus, who the man that owns this handkerchief proclaims, be healed. Boom! Grandma jumps up. Healed after 2 years of being an invalid, jumps up, her lungs are cleared, the stroke is gone, and she's totally released from the old folks home. That's pretty nice. I really like that. So I'll start cutting off 2-inch pieces of this, sell it for $1,000 a piece. No, there ain't no market in the gospel here. No, sir. So anyway, but you know, what's funny, there's something really funny that happened about this story. I really like this story a whole lot. Okay? And here's why. Because grandma is healed, and grandmas are usually pretty independent when they got their strength. Most grandmas are that way. And so here she is at the house now, alone. And what nobody knew was there was a big snowstorm God had ordained. It came through. It went through the whole upper part of Canada and all upper United States, but it left almost a meter of snow. Now that's a bunch. That's an excessive amount at one time. I mean, that's an awesome storm. It blanketed the place, just everywhere, all over. And so this lady's there by herself at the house. Oh, son got worried down in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Calls up Mama. Mama, how you doing? Mama didn't answer the phone. Oh, well, you know how the mind goes. She's just been freshly healed a few weeks. Oh, boy. She won't answer the phone. Buddy, he calls up his brother-in-law, who's got a snow plow on the front of his big old four-wheel drive. Oh, man, they plowed their way over to her house. Oh, everybody's in a ruckus. They're all up, you know, stirred up about it. And they get over there, knock on the door, no answer. Oh, boy. Finds a key. Everybody has a key outside just about. Finds a key open, let herself in the house. Run all through the house. No mama. Oh, Lord, this is serious. They get to the back door and they look out on the back there, because usually those up the cold country, you have a door and then you go out on a porch and then there's another door to kind of keep a barrier from the cold. And so they look out there and somebody been shoveling snow on the back sidewalk. Y'all call them sidewalks? Where the concrete and everything? Footpath. I can't say it. Footpath. So we'll just have to suffice it with footpath. Can you understand that? Oh, good. Don't get mad at me, all right? I'm not mad at you for talking different either. So okay. I respect you, but don't respect me too. So, on the footpath, somebody been shoveling all that snow off. Well, just down there was a shovel a ways out. I don't know how many meters. I forgot they told me. It's in the letter. And then right beside the shovel, there's a hole in the snow. This don't look good. Do you understand? This does, I mean, you can imagine the adrenaline running through these grown men as they're tearing down that footpath, you know, getting out there to that hole. They got out there to the hole and they looked over in there because the snow's this deep. And they look over in there, you know, their mind had already figured out they're going to find her froze to death because a stroke came back on her. But that ain't what they found. You know what they found in that hole in the ground? They found Grandma in there playing, making snow angels and worshiping Jesus. Completely healed. Isn't that awesome? I like that, don't you? Go ahead, Grandma. Yeah. Cleaning her footpath up. That's pretty fun. I like that business. This gospel is real. And it's convincing because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It says right here, verse 12. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, in my opinion, that's the answer right there that everybody's looking for. Is that steadfast believing in the name of Jesus. I get asked all the time, how do you keep going and doing and seeing all this stuff? It's steadfast believing in the name of Jesus, regardless of the report around me. Really, that's all there is to it. And we always win. It may not be always like we wanted the victory, but it's always victory. Are y'all hearing me? In Jesus' name. And the Bible says right here, it says, He will Himself be able to do the things that I do. Listen, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, He will Himself be able to do the things that I do. Did you hear that? If you can steadfastly believe in the name of Jesus and on the Son of God as who He is, you can do the things that Jesus did. That's a promise, and I accept it. Now you listen to me. That's not just for me. That's for every believer sitting in this room and every person that's not a believer that wants to be. You can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. You know what? I was in one of my villages called Placetas not long ago. I guess it was a couple months ago, probably 6 months now, I guess. Had my family and everybody there, and they had told me about this little girl that had been sick. Now listen to this. This little girl got a sickness called cholera. Have y'all ever heard of it before? Cholera is deadly. You can treat it if you can get to the right facility in the right amount of time. But if it runs its course, most of the time it slaughters whoever it's in. And this little girl, little 4-year-old girl, little bitty thing, Indian girl, she got the cholera. She had the dysentery and the diarrhea, the bleeding, and everything was wrong with her that comes along with cholera. And it doesn't let you eat. So here she is 14 days sick with this disease. And the pastor of the church, he says to the church, the whole church, we're all going to fast and pray, and we're going to call on the name of Jesus, and we're going to do it for 3 or 4 days, and then we're going to have a prayer meeting, and we're going to get together, and God's going to heal her. So they did it. The whole church, every man, woman, and child, everybody in the church, they fasted for 3 days, got together that night. Now listen, they got together to find out that the girl had died the third day of the fast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that's sad. Here you are. You got the whole church organized to a fast so that you can get her healed. And you come to find out she's dead. Well, that's a sad thing. And in most cases, I would have to say here in Australia, probably all of them, and in New Zealand and in America and everywhere else around the world where you don't have any touch with death anymore. It's been taken away from you. You don't have any idea how it really is when you have to tend to them yourself. And so, what do? The mama has the rights. So, the mama says to the husband, we're going to that prayer meeting. We've been fasting for 3 days, and we're going to take this baby, and we're going to lift her up to Jesus. Now, that's an awesome thing for a mama to do that just lost her baby. I have to give her credit. That's pretty awesome, and I like it a lot. And she comes in that prayer meeting. Boy, I wish I'd have been there, but it was all right that God was. You know, I don't necessarily have to be there, but it would have been fun to watch it. I've seen it so much, I like to watch it all the time. It's pretty fun. And this mama comes in with this baby, been dead now. Now, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 8 o'clock at night. Everybody's there. Here she's standing with this baby that's been dead for 5 hours. Did you hear me? 5 hours dead. And the pastor walks up. He says, let me have her. Took her from the mama. A dead baby. Now, got that? And he didn't go into some, you know, lifting her up and fighting in the heavenlies and stomping around and Jericho marching around. You know what he did? He called her by name. You know what the Bible says Jesus did? He called her by name. Talitha kumi, child, I say unto you, arise. So he did that. He did that one time. Nothing happened. Called her by name the second time. Nothing happened. Called her by name the third time, and she coughs and comes back to life. What a God. Yeah, this is wonderful. I like it. I like it a lot. Because that was on like a Friday or something, and I was there on a Sunday. And so, boy, oh, boy, they told me about it. I couldn't wait to get my hands on that child. So I told her, Mama, get up here. So she brought that baby. So I just walked around holding that baby, preaching. Didn't I do that? It's fun. I like it. I like it. Because this child was dead, but Jesus brought it back to life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, the Bible is true. Let every man be a liar. God will not deceive you. He is not out to hurt you and harm you. He's here to lift you up and to heal your body and heal your spirit and to heal your finances, your marriage, and your children. Hallelujah. And your job and your mind, my God. The trash heap of a mind most of us have. It needs to be fixed. Hallelujah. I think y'all call it trash? No, y'all call it rubbish. Okay, you got rubbish minds instead of trash minds. All right. And it says right here, look, I want to finish this here. It says, because I'm not getting very far here tonight, just like I didn't last night either. But I think I am making headway in the Holy Ghost, and that's what I think is counting. It says right here in verse 14, it says, yes, I will grant I myself will do for you. This is a pretty awesome statement. If you want to ask my opinion, and I'm glad you did, because I'm going to tell you. Whatever you shall ask in my name as presenting all that I am. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can't lie. Yeah, like I said before, I do apologize about men lying and making mistakes and giving the gospel a bad name and every other thing. I'm sorry for that. I truly am. I don't like it. Boy, when I hear about great men that make mistakes, oh boy, oh, I don't like it. I really don't. It hurts my feelings as much as it does yours. But I'll tell you what, so far, thanks be to the name of Jesus, I haven't fallen. I've kept on walking, even though great and mighty other men have. I don't put my stock and trust in them. It's in Jesus. Now, when a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, I definitely will follow him. No, hey, I will. But if he happens to make a mistake, I have to understand. He's a man. But he's not my Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. And I'll tell you, as long as God keeps working these miracles, like that lady, that little grandma doing the little snow angels. I don't know if y'all even know what snow angels are, do you? Now see there, do y'all have much snow around here? Y'all laughing at me. That means I'm a fool for asking that question. Okay. I accept that. Mistake. No problem. Well, maybe if I was in Melbourne, I'd be doing all right by asking that question. snow angels, just where you fall in the snow, where it hadn't been nobody tracking and move your arms back and forth. And you get up and walk out. It looks just like an angel would, you know, all the white and everything. It's fun. I like to do it. But I made a mistake one time. I went snow skiing. All right. Here's another mistake I made. This is fun to snow ski. I don't know if you've ever done it, but boy, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun to me. And so I stepped off these skis. And I was going to lay down and do a snow angel, but I didn't realize it was 5 foot deep. I'm serious. I stepped off this ski, boom, soup all the way up to here. I'm in snow and I'm stuck. You can't get out of that. Man, oh man. Boy. It's a lot of fun anyway. I eventually got out. You see me here, don't you? All right. Look at verse 15. Is it all right if I'm a human, but I love Jesus? Is that okay with you? I like to ski, and I do make mistakes. You just seen that. You know, how do I know it don't snow here? It was cold enough when we got here to snow. I didn't know it didn't snow. Isn't that right, Miss Hogan? Miss Hogan thought it was snow on the ground when we got off the plane. No, it was later on, I guess, a couple of days later, it really got cold. She told me, boy, it must be snowing somewhere. You know, I'm glad I didn't say nothing about it. I'd have been a laugh more to scorn than I am already. But I don't mind it. I don't get embarrassed. I'm just glad you can see that God can use you. Like, if He can use me, you're much more prettier than I am. You're much more educated. Come on. You know He can use you if He uses me. You know that. Now don't go quiet on me. We know it's the truth. I just have to read this verse 14 to you one more time. Because you see it says right here, oh Lord, I'm not making very much headway with this. It says, yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name. Boy, I like that. As presenting all that I am. I'm gonna have to tell you, some of the most beautiful things I get to see in the world, really, few people do see it. And it's not because Jesus don't have the power. It's because we don't have the understanding of who Jesus really is. Y'all hearing me? Y'all understand that? I'll tell you, He's King and Lord. And there is no disease. There is no infirmity. It don't matter if it's a premature death spirit. It has to back up when the name of Jesus is proclaimed. Hey, let me say that. After saying that, let me back it up with this. Because I don't want some of y'all to get y'all's feelings hurt. Because there's people that lose family members and pray for them and they don't come back. And I don't want you to feel condemned by that statement right there. Because I felt it whenever I said it. It might have been a little strong for some of y'all. Let me say this. We have prayed for almost 1,600 people to be raised from the dead. And we've only got about 220 of them up. See? So how many did we lose? It's awesome. 220. Whoo! There's few ministries that get to see that. Y'all ever heard of a man by the name of T.L. Osborne? I was with him not long ago. And I wanted that man to pray for me. I wanted him to bless me. I wanted him to touch me because he's a getting older man and I want the mantle. I'll have it. You'll see. And so, I went in there in that room and I was standing there and he's a little fella, believe it or not. He's about that tall. Amen. But he's awesome in the Holy Ghost. He's a giant with God. And that's good. And he says to me, what do you have to say about yourself, son? I thought, oh God, we raised the dead in my work. Cause I really didn't know what he wanted. I didn't know where he was going. Boy, and I was scared, you know, cause these guys are awesome. I'm serious. If you've ever been in the presence of one of them, they're awesome people and I like them. I like that. I like that feeling of that Holy Ghost, that much energy. I like it. And so he says, oh, so you raise the dead, do you? Well, just how many people have you seen God raise the dead? I thought, oh Jesus, he's not going to believe me. I got to tell him the truth. Sir, we've seen about 210 or 12 or 14 or something. He says, what? He fell down on his knees. He said, he grabbed my hand. Pray for me, son, he said. I said, what? What? He said, I've only seen 100. Oh, it's fun. This gospel thing is fun. This gospel thing is awesome. Fun, I tell you. This gospel thing is fun. It's fun to be around people like that. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. He did pray for me and I'm happy. Okay. Do you see? These are keys that we feel like, okay, I'm saved. Okay, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I read my Bible every other day or so. What's the need to have to, you know, buckle down? And prayers work. I'll tell you why. If you want this power and glory of God, you're not going to get it any other way. You're just not going to do it. If you know anything about business, you don't get it just because you have a degree does not make you a millionaire. You're made a millionaire by taking the knowledge you've got and going applying it to what you're wanting and seeking after it and going for it. Then you can have it. But not until. Just because you've got knowledge doesn't make you anything but a person with a head filled with words. Did you hear me, church? Are y'all listening to me? There's a deeper thing I'm talking about here. It's talking about, I want you to know, these men were touched on the day of Pentecost. But I'm going to tell you something. These guys are on their way to prayer when they run across this guy. And he's been, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple and was called beautiful, and asked of him alms as he entered. Do you know this man was old enough that every day that Jesus was in the temple, that man was there? Did you know that, Pastor? Did you know that every day that Jesus went into the temple, that man was there begging for alms? Why didn't Jesus heal him? That can't be answered. I want to raise the question, but I want you to see that even though Jesus was there and available, not everybody that was sick got healed. You've got to see that, because we have this lame brain idea that, you know, Jesus would walk into a town and sickness would just vanish. That's not true. There's particular ways to go about getting Jesus to heal you, buddy. And you're not going to get it in your way of thinking. It's got to be in God's way of thinking, inside the limits and laws of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now look, I done got serious on you. See that? And it says right here, in verse 3, it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked alms of them. You know, one of the reasons he was brought there. Why bring him to a temple? Because people usually going into a temple could be a religious people and more easily touched to help somebody that has a need. Do you understand that? That's not always true, but if I was going to take a chance, if I was a crippled guy needing money, I'd hit up the Christians. Because you know why? Because you can work on them. Because a Christian that wants the power may not have it, but he'll try to buy his way out of it because he don't have it. How about that? I've got money. Here, take this. Okay, I'm all right now. I've given. I'm fine now. You're not all right. You understand that? Just because you give does not make you all right. It makes you get blessed, and that's happy, and that's good. You need it. But let me tell you something. It does not appease your conscience. Only the Holy Ghost can do that through the peace of God. All right? Y'all hearing me yet? This gospel is serious, and we have to take it serious. And look here. Look what Peter did. And Peter and John, Peter fastened his eyes on him with John. He said to him, look at us. I mean, why? You're just an old scrubby fisherman. Why do I want to look at you, Peter? I don't want you, Peter. I want money. I'm hungry. Do you understand the mentalities here? What's going on? Peter, he ain't got any money. He looks over there at the guy. He says, silver and gold that I don't have in verse 6. But such as I have, I'll give it to you. See now, I was approached, it hadn't been too long ago either, by a man who is very, very wealthy. His personal worth is $350 million American dollars. Now, that's the kind of people we think we want to rub elbows with and get to be friends with. Go out on the yacht and let them beat us fishing and stuff like that. Because we want to get benefits out of it after a while. Well, see, I don't think like that. If he's going to invite me out fishing, I'm going to beat him. You understand that? I'm going to beat him because I'm going to call them fish up and they're going to get on my hook. That's just the way it is. I'm serious. I'm not going to let him beat me just so I can get some money out of him. I'm going to beat him because God's going to bless me with fish. Oh, you don't believe that? That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Tell him, baby. That's a mistake. I learned that from my daddy. My daddy was a preacher for 48 years. And he called all them fish up and they get on his hook. He beat everybody. He tell them fish, you obey me and get on that hook. Poof, there it go. Boom. Bring them in. That's serious. I'm honestly telling the truth here. Oh boy. Things you have to tell people that don't believe. So this guy here, listen. I'm sitting there with this guy, and you know what? He comes up to, he is as serious. And he's looking at me because I'm enjoying myself in the Holy Ghost. Oh, dude, I've got the freedom of God. I've got the peace of God. I've got stability. I've got a good family. I've got a wife that loves me. Jesus is with me. Miracles are happening. What else do I need? Come on, think about it. What else is there? Well, money. Y'all don't know that song, huh? Money can't buy me love. Y'all ain't never heard that, have you? It can only can it not buy you love. It can't buy you peace and happiness, contentment and health or nothing else. But a certain amount of going after it can make you sick. Can stress you out too far and so forth and so on. But let me tell you, this guy here walks up to me. He said, Brother David, you treat me, I like being around you because you treat me like a man. See? I don't treat him like a wealthy man. Did you hear that? He didn't say that. He said, you treat me like a man. I treat him like somebody who needs the gospel. That's fun. That's a... Oh, he says to me, he said, I'll tell you, and I'm honestly telling you this, if you will give me what you got, I'll give you all of my fortune. I laughed at him. I said, son, you ain't worth enough money. You can't buy what I've got with money. And see, that's what Peter is touching this guy. He grabs that dude and says, I don't have what, you don't need money, son. But what I've got, you do need. And he reaches and gets him by the hand. And what does the Bible say happens? Strength went into his ankle bones and he was healed. I like it. Because you see, I've seen that happen probably several hundred times. I walked into a village one night, and there's a little grandma in the corner, and she's sitting down. She ain't but that tall. I thought she was one of the littlest midgets I've ever seen. Little bitty thing, about that tall. But that wasn't what was wrong. What was wrong was her legs were stuck out and froze in a position curled around behind her. I didn't see that because her dress was all fluffed out. I didn't know what was wrong with her. But I'll tell you this, when they told me, I looked at her because she was happy. You know, she was happy in the state she was in. Then I walk over to her and I touch her on the top of the head, and all of a sudden her legs, for after 15 years of being frozen in one position, start moving around and she stands up completely healed. It's awesome! I'm telling you, it's fun. This gospel is fun. I like this gospel. It's fun. I like it. It's fun. See, they brought me this baby. I don't want to offend anybody by saying the wrong words, because I don't know the name. What is it whenever a baby's body don't grow, but his head is big? What does that mean? What is that? They may not know it by that name here. It has water on the brain, and the head gets real big in the body, and in a minute it dies. What is it? Say it. I heard a name. One more time. Y'all heard him. All right, but let me tell you. Let me tell you this right here. That little baby, it was in Tlemaya village. Tlemaya means a flat place like this football field here. Tlemaya. Oh, I like it when there's Tlemayas around. That means you get to walk on flat ground because there's big mountains. Iste molis et tecolis. Uphills and downhills. Yeah, I like Tlemaya. And they brought me that baby, and the mama... It was the wrong color too. Does anybody here know what that disease? The skin color was all wrong. The head was big and the body was little. And oh Lord, I'd never seen anything like it. We started praying for this baby in Jesus' name, be healed. And I'd never heard of anybody being healed by that. I couldn't tell you around other parts of the world, you know about it. But I know where we're working. What's going on? Okay. And that little old lady, boy, she was just weeping because we was even praying for the baby. You know, it wasn't healed or nothing, but we was praying for it. And so I went back by the, I prayed for that baby. I'm telling y'all, I prayed for that baby. I must have been, who knows how many times, I guess 7 or 8, maybe 10 times over a 2 month period, maybe 3 months, 2.5 months probably. Yeah, that's right. It was 2.5 months. Cause all of a sudden I had to go on a trip and I didn't get to go out and pray for the kid. I come back, you know, and I go by the house. It's all locked up. I thought, oh Jesus. Oh no. Because it had been a couple of weeks. And so I go back by the house there and again, and I go out and where are they? Oh, they're up in the fields. So I said, all right, you tell them people I'll be back after a while. I got to go out here, pray for somebody. So I went on, did what I do for a living, pray for the sick and preach the gospel. Came back and places, all got the candle outside. That means you're welcome when you got the candle outside. A little flicker in there, a little light. There ain't no electricity. So I stopped. And, you know, went over there and they let me in. Oh, man. This time the husband was available. Because he had never been available before. He was always gone, but that ain't true. He was just, he was ashamed of the gospel. And so, but the wife, I didn't see her. But in a minute, this little boy comes running out. I never saw him before. He was playing around. You know, I didn't think nothing about it. I didn't think a thing about it. There's this little kid out here playing in the dirt. You know, we went in and they had this big meal and a couple of guys with me. Man, it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome to us. Because we had never, ever been able to make, we thought, any inroads with this family in this village, okay? Well, all of a sudden that mama comes walking in there and putting all this oil. She's happy and everything. And I says to her, where's the baby? And she pointed outside, that little boy playing in the dirt. He was completely healed. Listen to me. You got to understand something. When I said to you just now, that boy was completely healed. Do you understand the laws of nature that can't be reversed? The only thing that can reverse them is the name of Jesus. There's nothing else can do it. It don't matter how genius you are, how smart you are, you can prolong things, but when the laws of nature are in effect like that, there's no reversing it. Only the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's awesome, church. That is fun to me. I didn't tell you that. Now look what Peter did. See, I'm trying to show you that according to the Bible, and I'll do this all week long, the more I talk, I'm going to show you more and more scripture and prove it scripturally and show you what we're doing and how it's working. I'm talking about this year. These things I'm talking about are not old things. These are new things that have happened this year. And I want to do that on purpose while I was over here. It's important to me because the gospel is alive now in our generation, current in the 90s. And it says right here in verse 6, then said Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, listen to this, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple. Watch what he was doing. Walking and leaping and praising God. Y'all sing that song over here? Oh, it's awesome. Ooh, I like it. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I like it. I've done that a lot. I've sung that song to people and watched them jump up. It's the most scary thing you've ever seen. I really do. I enjoy it. The gospel is fun. And I want you to see verse 9. It's important that you see verse 9. The Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, I don't know if you noticed anywhere in here, but there was nowhere a time lapse where they sent him off to the therapist to teach him how to walk. Hello. Did you not catch that when I read that to you? The thing is, he was 40-something years old, and he was crippled from his mother's womb. Who taught him how to walk? Peter grabbed him by the hand and he got his strength. But you don't know how to walk just because somebody grabs you and you get strength. I'm telling you, that's another miracle from God. We've seen that I don't know how many times. When people get healed of speech, they can immediately begin to talk. I mean, immediately they begin to talk. And they speak whatever language they want to. I'm telling you, God doesn't matter. He don't care. Whatever I say in English, they say back to me. Just perfectly, because they don't know any better. They just know that God touched them, and they start talking. And I like it. It's pretty fun. The gospel is awesome. And another thing in verse 10, it says, and they knew, the people knew, that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Church, it's right to be at awe in the presence of God. Church, it's right to be filled with wonder. I'm telling you, in that household today, there was some awe and wonder when he was walking around healed. I'm telling you, that man right there could have kept on preaching a while ago. If that pastor would have said, keep on, he'd have still been here talking to you. I'm telling you, it's awe and wonder that does that to people. I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? It's the name of Jesus. Stand up with me and let's pray, please. See, I didn't do too bad. That's only been an hour. But I am behind on what I've been going to tell you, but that's okay. I've been telling you about Jesus, and that's all I need to do. Would you lift your hands up to Jesus, please? Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. He's worthy, He's righteous, and He's honorable. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me come here and preach the gospel and stand up for truth and righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. The glory of God be revealed in this place, Father. In the name of Jesus, glory to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. We allow You to come in here and touch us. We allow You to come here and fill us with Your glory and honor, Holy Ghost. Thank You, Jesus, for the power of the gospel in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to ask you, see, if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord, church, I'm here to ask you that. I have to ask you, as a matter of fact, because that's what I'm here for. And I want to know if there's anybody here that hasn't ever accepted Jesus as Lord, and you would like to. If you would like to, I'd like for you to come down here in Jesus' name. And we want to pray with you, and I'll pray with you directly too. Is there anybody here? Would you look around your church and see if there's somebody you can invite to come up here? And we'll pray with them, and Jesus will touch them, and the Holy Ghost will bless them in Jesus' name. If there's anybody, would you look around you and just ask them, say, hey, would you like to be born again? Just ask them. You can't ever tell what the answer would be. And if they want you to walk down here with them, walk down here with them and let the Holy Ghost touch them. Let the Holy Ghost set them free in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, is there somebody, please? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, You're worthy, God. We love You, Father. And we thank You for the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Can you not find somebody at church that needs Jesus? Surely there's somebody in here. In the name of Jesus. Oh, there's somebody in here. They're just chickens. And we got to get them over being chicken and let the courage of God fill their heart. Hallelujah. We need the name of Jesus to touch them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In Jesus' name. Would you come to Jesus, please? Would you come to Jesus? You know, when I'm in a hut or in a village, and we don't usually have even this thing here over us, and it's out there, and people are out there, they stand right in the edge of the lights where you can't really make out who they are. But that's just the way the children of darkness do. So I send out the ants, I call them. Go and attack them and bring them in. Bring them in. And the brothers go out, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, are they good. And they talk to them and talk to them. The minute they start coming in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's pretty fun. I like it. I like it where I preach. Nobody's ever proclaimed Jesus there before. It's fun. Is there anybody? Would you please come in Jesus' name? Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, lots of people tell me, they say to me, Brother David, they say, don't you get embarrassed when people don't move? No, I don't get embarrassed when people don't move. Good evening, sir. How are you? Would you like to be born again, sir? Would you? Thank you very much. Jesus is going to bless you, sir. Jesus is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Just stand right there for a minute, if you don't mind, please. Is there anybody else? Please. You know, come join this courageous man that come down here and standing by himself. I'm up here with him, I guess. So is Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else, please, that would like to come and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let Him change you. Let Him make you who He wants. Is there anyone else? Please, would you come? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let me see here. Where's that fellow with that striped shirt that was playing that piano a while ago? Is he gone? Is he here? Well, I'll just ask it like this. Brother Jan, I need somebody on the piano. Now then, now it's settled. Is there anybody else that would like to come and accept Jesus as Lord? Is there someone else? Oh, yes. This is looking good. This is looking real good. Hang on right there just for a minute, sir, would you? If you don't mind. Hey, this is good. Would you like to be born again, sir? Good idea. Would you step right over here, please? Thank you very much. Just come on up and stand with you. There you go. Just stand right there. There may be one or two more people I can try to talk into getting born again.
Good.
It'd be awesome, huh?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be awesome. In Jesus' name, mighty Holy Ghost. Oh, heaven touch us. Heaven touch us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Do you know any songs about the blood of Jesus? If you don't mind starting off somewhere there. Yeah. Anything's all right. You decide. I'm happy. I delegate it. I'm good at delegating. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's see now. Brother Tom is not in position. He was over there last night. Oh, I know where he's at. He's over here somewhere. There he comes. See there? He knows I'm after him. All right, look. If you don't mind taking these fellows over here, right over there, and just explain to them, you know what to do, and just get them full of Jesus' name. And then I want to pray with them in a minute, okay? If y'all don't mind, please follow this young man right over here and go right on over there with him. Thank you very much. You did well. You did well. Holy Ghost. All right, church. You know, look. There's so much that God wants to do for us, okay? And last night, don't get me wrong, I am blessed by the people that came down here. But I'm used to Indians. And Indians been saved 20 years since I've been there. They all come up to get prayer. They're so eager, so hungry. You know, and these are people that have been in church. Did you know that some of the churches we have been having church 7 days a week for about 15 years? And yet when I go there and preach, the whole bunch of them are down there and, I mean, weeping and crying and receiving from God. Man, I don't know how they can do it every night. But I'll tell you, they receive from God. So if there's somebody here that you came up here, you might have come up here for prayer last night. I want to invite you back. If you have something wrong in your body or in your family or in your life, would you please come up here and make a line right up across here, please? I want to pray with you. We do. Oh yeah. I need the counselors too to come up here. I forgot again. I always forget, don't I? Would the counselors come up? And also, would you, if you need a touch from heaven, just come right up here. Just leave me about 3 feet. A little bit closer. There you go. That's good right there. Yep. And would you just come up and I want you, if you need something from Jesus, I want you to come up here. Every night you're here, I want you up here. I want you here looking at me just smiling. I'm receiving tonight. Tonight's my night. That's all I want to hear out of you. Tonight's my night. I don't want you bellyaching and moaning to me about so-and-so and all the great men of God that's prayed for you. Nothing's happened. Listen, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in your diligence. I'm glad you're still wanting prayer. But listen, thing that's happened, you know, I've been saved over half my life now, and I'm 44, well over half my life. And I'm telling you, I got hit this year. I didn't know there was that much of God available. And I got slammed, and it's awesome, and I like it. And I'm trying to talk you into receiving it. Hallelujah. So if you will, just come on up in here. Now, if there's somebody else here, of you that's standing back there, and you want a touch from heaven, I mean, you say, well, you know, I'm doing fine. My finances are good. I feel healthy and everything's fine in my house. Man, I want to be touched by God. Come on up here. I'm going to ask you that every night. I mean, God wants to touch you. In Jesus' name, just step on up here. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. You know, lots of people tell me, Brother Hogan, I don't like your method. You know, look, please, don't be offended, but look, my method's working. Okay? I don't know about your method, and I'm not going to challenge you on it. But I know what I'm doing is working. So I'm not against you, and I'm not challenging your method, but I just want you to know that what I'm doing is working. And it's working in every nation I've ever been in. So it's got to be the gospel. See, when what a guy preaches works, in every nation he goes in, because the Bible says the gospel is to all nations. So when a guy preaches, it should work in all nations. Hallelujah. Now then, you people that come down here to receive, just go ahead on and start receiving. It's all right by God. Just go ahead. Every how you know how to receive from God, just start worshiping Him as King. Hallelujah. Okay, I need some of you, a couple of you counselors to move on over here on this other side. It's a little bit short over there. There we go. That three's enough. Now, yeah, you slide in here. Yeah, there you go. Now we're rocking. Oh, thank you, Miss Hogan. Okay, Miss Hogan, you step over here. There you go. Let them have some room. Let's go, Crystal. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, in church, I like for you people that are left standing back there. You're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus is with us. But I want you to participate. I'd like for you to be praying in the Spirit of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying using the gifts, loosen the powers of God, loosen the fruit of the Spirit, loosen the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And unless you're really witnessing to somebody trying to get them saved and come up here, I'd just soon, if you'd just please be quiet unless you're going to worship God or enter in prayer and prayer and seeking of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, prayer team, listen to me. I want y'all to be aggressive. I want you to speak the fire of God in these people's lives. I'm telling you the name of Jesus is worthy. And the fire of heaven's on us. It's on us. It's here. I can feel it, I'll tell you. In Jesus' name. If y'all will, just pair off. Get you a pair of you together, please. And just start praying for the people. In Jesus' name. Yes. I'm going to need somebody to work with me, Pastor. You want to work with me? Come on over here. All right. Jesus' name. Are we ready? Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, if y'all don't mind, get you a pair. Get up here on this thing. Crystal, get a picture of these folks. We're wanting Jesus here. All right. Get you a partner and just start moving out through there and believe in God. If a particular manifestation doesn't happen, don't let it hang you up. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. The name of Jesus is going to work for these folks. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So if you will, just start praying for them. Go right ahead. All right. I want you to work directly behind whoever we're praying for. Okay. Now, like last night, people were falling straight down this way, that way. There's no way to tell you how they're going to fall. They may not even fall. We may walk off and then they fall. I mean, we're not into manifestations. We're into the Holy Ghost. Okay. We're not going to get caught up in a manifestation here. We're going to get caught up in the healing. See, that man that got healed wasn't even in church last night. But you see, and we never even saw no manifestation. It didn't block God, did it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you to be healed. I tell you to be free. I tell you, by the name of Jesus, to receive the touch of heaven and the fire of God. In Jesus' name. Fire on you. Fire on you. Fire of God touch you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.